And welcome back to Sex, Scandals, and Shenanigans. In this show, I will be discussing historical figures who are notorious lovers and mistresses in history. My name is Adrian, and I'll be your host. Please note that this show discusses adult themes including sex, sexual assault, language, politics, and religion. Listener discretion is advised. Please also note that there will be discussions of sex with minors, so if that is a triggering issue for you, please feel free to skip this episode. Thank you. I'd like to define what the word mistress means in the context of this show. As usual, let's get to the definitions. According to Cambridge Dictionary, a mistress is a woman who is having a sexual relationship with a married man, or a woman who has a sexual relationship over a long period of time with a man who is not her husband. My contextual definition, a woman who is in a sexual relationship or has a sexual relationship with a man, regardless of his marital status. So today's episode, I want to focus on two people, Caligula and Tiberius. So it's a doozy for you. You get two episodes in one. In order to get a good understanding of who's going to be in this episode, I'd like to focus on the other names that are going to be associated with this story. We have to dig into their sort of personal history, so let's get into discussing Caligula and Tiberius. Standard practice, we need to discuss the characters in this repugnant tale. Of course, we have Caligula, we have Tiberius, we have Germanicus, Agrippina the Elder, Agrippina the Younger, Julia Drusilla, Julia Livilla, Augustus Caesar, Suetonius, Nero, no, not that one, Drusus, Junia Claudia, Lollia Paulina, Melonia Caesonia, Livia Orestia, Cleopatra, Claudius, and Piso. Now that we've recounted the family wreath, I want to give a brief explanation regarding today's episode. As I said, you're getting a doozy. Today's episode will be a bit different. The episode will cover the wicked lives of and actions of Roman Emperor Caligula and Tiberius. To do so, we also must cover Tiberius as well. He plays a significant role in Caligula's life. This is a two-in-one episode because the two are so entwined, so please bear with me as we traverse the pompous shenanigans of these emperors. Let's get started, shall we? Gaius Julius Caesar was born in 12 AD to Agrippina the Elder and Germanicus Julius Caesar. Germanicus was the nephew of Emperor Tiberius and eventually his adopted son. Agrippina the Elder, daughter of Marcus Vipsania, and Julia the Elder, Augustus's daughter. So Gaius comes from the most illustrious Roman family. Gaius had a total of five other siblings, two elder brothers, and three younger sisters. His brothers, Nero Caesar, again, no, not that one, not that unhinged little shit, and Drusus Caesar. His sisters, Agrippina the Younger, mother to that little shit Nero, Julia Livilla, and Julia Drusilla. Oh, before I actually continue, I will be calling them Drusilla and Livilla because I'm not going to keep saying Julia every single time. Okay? Cool. Glad we got that covered. When Gaius was a young child, along with his siblings, he was traveling with his family on his father's military campaign. Due to Gaius's trying on military garb and uniform, he was given the nickname by the soldiers Caligula. Caligula means little bootykins or little boots. For the rest of this episode, we'll refer to Gaius as Caligula as that is the name he's most well known. Anyway, on the 10th of October 19 AD, Germanicus died while on campaign. There were some theories, maybe even some conspiracy theories, that Germanicus was poisoned or killed due to subverting orders from Tiberius. According to imperial law, senators or people of the senatorial class cannot go to Egypt without imperial approval, which is what Germanicus had done. Germanicus came into conflict with the Syrian governor, Gnaeus Calpurnicus Piso, who was essentially a political ally of Tiberius. It can be probable that Germanicus' death, while not directly ordered by Tiberius, can be attributed to him by way of Piso and his wife Plancina, who may have poisoned him. In any case, Germanicus died. Agrippina the Elder and their children returned to Rome. Germanicus was created and put to rest in the mausoleum of Augustus, or essentially the imperial burial crypt. Here's what we do know about Agrippina. She was not a shy woman, nor was she shy from keeping her children from reaching imperial aspirations. That said, Tiberius was a very paranoid person. Well, maybe not paranoid, but he was very tight-lipped, always looking out to see if somebody was going to try to do something to him. Overly anxious, maybe? Anyway, because Agrippina was open about her sons becoming part of the Roman imperial leadership, Tiberius took measures to protect his power base. In 29 AD, Tiberius charged Agrippina, Nero, and Drusus with treason. He then exiled them from Rome. However, Caligula was not exiled, but he was put in Tiberius's custody. Caligula was then remanded to his great-grandmother Livia, Augustus' last and favorite wife, and then to Antonia Minora, the niece of Augustus. By 30 AD, Caligula's two brothers, Nero and Drusus, were deemed and declared public enemies of Rome. They were expelled from Rome, and during their exile, they both died, more than likely at the behest of Tiberius. In 31 AD, Caligula was moved from his grandmother's house, Antonia Minora, to Tiberius's villa, Villa Jovis, on the island of Capri. This was Tiberius's island refuge. Sounds like a nice vacation, eh? Yeah, no. It wasn't. It gets so much worse for Caligula. Deviating from Caligula a bit, let's discuss Tiberius. Born in 42 BCE in Rome, he was the natural son of Livia and her first husband, Tiberius Claudius Nero. Livia later divorced her husband in 39 BCE and married Octavian / Augustus. This, therefore, makes Tiberius Augustus' stepson. So here's what we know a bit about Tiberius prior to him becoming the emperor of Rome. He was married to Vipsania Agrippina, the daughter of Augustus' close friend and most famed general, Marcus Vipsanius Agrippa. Unfortunately, because Augustus needed more heirs because his grandsons died, he made Tiberius divorce his wife very reluctantly and marry Augustus' daughter, Julia the Elder. It was not a good marriage. In any case, let's get back to other information about Tiberius. Long story short, Tiberius reigned for quite a while as emperor after the death of Augustus. He hated being emperor, but he liked the power that came with it. However, we can also state that he left a lot of the governance to one of his henchmen, Sejanus. He's been throughout this whole thing. So Sejanus is just a manipulative politician who wanted to gain favor and get entrance into the imperial family, but was not successful. In any case, Tiberius ran off to his island in Capri, Villa Jovis. Tiberius's lone pleasure away from Rome was escaping to his villa on the island of Capri, Villa Jovis. Here, according to Suetonius, and take him with a very large pound of salt. He's like the ancient version of the National Enquirer or the Daily Mirror or Page Six when it comes to this information. He's a primary, in quote, source, but he's not an extremely reliable one just due to the proximity of how far he was from the imperial family when he was writing his book, The 12 Caesars. Anyway, Tiberius turned Villa Jovis into a personal pleasure palace. In his book, A Treasury of Royal Scandals, author Michael Farquhar describes some of the antics Tiberius gets up to. Tiberius imported boys and girls from the empire to entertain him. Some of these entertainments included watching them have group sex, particularly under his erotic and or pornographic imagery and artwork. He also had groups of boys, who he termed minnows, follow him around swimming, and the boys were to dart and nibble on the bait between Tiberius's legs. You get the gist of the description. Another anecdote from Suetonius about Tiberius was that he was making sacrifices to the gods, and two altar boys, who were brothers, caught his fancy. Well, they were assaulted, and then the brothers resisted and protested the sexual advances of Tiberius. Tiberius decided that because they did not appreciate his imperial favor, he had their legs broken. Continuing on with more horrifying and sadistic stories, a young girl from Rome became the victim of Tiberius's wandering eyes. The girl, according to our friend Suetonius, was from the senatorial class, which is pretty high in the social classes. She was abused by Tiberius, and then she ran home decrying, allegedly, and cursing Tiberius as a filthy-mouthed, hairy, and stinking old man. Unfortunately, she ended up committing suicide. No person, regardless of their social standing, age, or gender, was not safe from the twisted and horrifying lust of Tiberius. Farquhar notes that to Tiberius, death was a light punishment. He loved to create and prolong a person's torture. This brings us back to Caligula's family. He reserves some of his most depraved torture techniques for his extended family. Remember when Tiberius sent Caligula's mother and two brothers into exile? Well, he enjoyed playing horrific games with Agrippina the Elder. One of the stories related to his perverse pleasure was during a meal with her. Tiberius offered her an apple, and she, thinking that it could be poisoned, declined the emperor's offer. So being the twisted imperial fuck that he was, Tiberius charged Agrippina with a flogging along with the exile. The flogging was so intense that she lost an eye. Agrippina then tried to starve herself to prevent further machinations from Tiberius. Unfortunately, he had her force-fed. In regards to Agrippina's death, it is not confirmed whether she willingly starved herself or if food was withheld in an effort to induce the idea of suicide via murder by starvation. Tiberius then massacred her name. This includes that the Roman Senate declaring her birthday as a day of ill omen and slandered her memory. In his twisted mind, he declared that Agrippina could have been dragged and deposited on the Gemonian steps instead of her not having a private death. Tiberius was so into himself, the Roman government then passed a bill that praised his clemency regarding Agrippina's death. More salt in this familial wound. Two of Tiberius' grandsons, via the adoption of Germanicus, Nero and Drusus, the older brothers of Caligula, one committed suicide, Nero, because he was shown a noose and hook by a fake or fraudulent executioner. Again, this is per Suetonius. This was the man that Caligula had to spend 6 years with at the Villa Jovis in Capri. I would not doubt Tiberius's immoral actions may have been a contributing factor. Tiberius is quoted to have said he's nursing a viper in Rome's bosom. And this was about Caligula. That is a very foreshadowing statement. On the 16th of March 37 AD, a miracle of the gods happened. Tiberius finally kicked the bucket. He was 77. Caligula was designated as the co-heir with a younger cousin, Gemellus, who was a natural grandson of Tiberius. Caligula also adopted Gemellus as his son so that he would be the designated heir. On the same day, Caligula, with the support of the Praetorian Guard, essentially the elite guards of the imperial family, was hailed as a new emperor. His personality and disposition was, at this time, different than his predecessor. During his reign, Tiberius had created unnecessary taxes, not that he was really reigning as he was in his villa in Capri, and held treason trials. Caligula ended these taxes, paid the armies, and ended the treason trials. People were delighted with Caligula's ascension. He was 25 when he became emperor. I want to briefly mention Caligula's sisters as they played a major role during his reign. Agrippina the Younger. She married Claudius. She became the Empress of Rome while married to Claudius from 49 to 59 AD. She was born in around 15 AD and died in 59. Julia Livilla married Marcus Vinicius, a Roman consul. She was born in 18 AD and died in 41 AD. She was aged about 22, 23 years old. Julia Drusilla. She married Roman Senator Lucius Cassius Longinus. Remember that name from Cleopatra? Well, he's somehow related. I didn't want to go down that family wreath. She later married Marcus Aemilius Lepidus, a good friend of Caligula, and also his instructions. She was born in 16 AD and died in 38 AD, and she was aged 21. In AD 37, shortly into his reign, Caligula fell ill. How or why he fell ill is unknown. But during his illness, Caligula wrote in his will that his heir would no longer be Gemellus, but rather Julia Drusilla. Caligula initially or originally had Gemellus as his designated heir, but then decided to have him executed. This was before his illness. Once Caligula had recovered, he was a totally different person. It should be noted that out of all of his sisters, Drusilla was his favorite. One speculation as to why Caligula chose her as his heir was because of her age, and she was still young and had the opportunity to bear children, thus able to continue the imperial Julio-Claudio line. Unfortunately, Drusilla died at age 21, and she and her husband had no living or surviving children. 3 years later, Julia Livilla died similarly like her sister, with no heirs. Also in 38 AD, Caligula named Marcus Aemilius Lepidus as his heir, as he was married to his sister, Livilla. When Livilla died, to commemorate her, Caligula had her treated as a diva, a divine person. No, she was not Mariah Carey or Jennifer Lopez. Stop. It is here where we learn how utterly depraved Caligula has become. Caligula was narcissistic, and according to Farquhar, he transcended Tiberius's depravity, making the dead emperor seem like a harmless island hermit by comparison. Similar to Tiberius, Caligula enjoyed torturing on a large scale and execution. One of his favorite forms of torture was building up small multiple wounds until it became one large wound, effectively killing them. In addition to killing people, Caligula was a fan of public executions. These included parents watching their children be killed. He also enjoyed gladiatorial matches and shows featuring wild animals, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Along with action-packed animal or gladiatorial fights, he also delighted in matches featuring old people fighting against old animals or people with disabilities fighting each other. You know what kind of people who enjoy torturing people also do? They put themselves on top of a pedestal. Caligula was one of these people, and he used religion as a tool to boost his ego and his manipulation tactics. When Drusilla died, she was deified by him and was confirmed by the Senate. He, at this time, also deified himself. He revered as a living god. You know, like what the Cleopatra did when she was saying she was Venus, Genetrix, and Isis. Anyway, he did the exact same thing. Usually, the Roman imperial family members, they had died and then therefore by the Senate would then be deified to live with the gods. Nah, not for Caligula. He made himself a living god, similar, like I said, to what Cleopatra and the Ptolemaic family had done when they were ruling Egypt. It is alleged that Caligula was also sleeping with his favorite and youngest sister, Drusilla. Our new friend Suetonius relates in his book, The Twelve Caesars, Caligula lived in habitual incest with all his sisters. Of these, he believed to have violated Drusilla when he was still a minor, and to even have been caught by his grandmother, Antonia Minora. Another instance relating to his lustful wickedness, Caligula intended the marriage of Livilla Orestia and Gaius Piso. At the wedding, Caligula then ordered Piso to hand over Livia so that Caligula could make her his own wife. He later then divorced her after a couple years of marriage. Flighty guy, isn't he? His next matrimonial mishap was with Lulia Paulina. She was initially married to a former consul, Gaius Mamelis, who was also a military leader in 38 AD. After divorcing her, Caligula commanded that Paulina was to never have sex or intercourse with anyone else. Yikes. His last marital endeavor was with Melania Caesonia. They married in 39 AD, and she reigned with him until the end in 41 AD, until they were both assassinated. His relationship with Caesonia was significantly different than his two previous wives. According to Suetonius, Caesonia was not only not young, nor was she pretty, but because she enjoyed reckless extravagance and she was a sexual wanton. Because of her behavior, it is surprising that Caligula was faithful to her. Prior to her marriage to Caligula, she was married and had at least two children. Speaking of children, Caligula had only one child with all of his wives, Julia Drusilla, named after his favorite sister. How many times have I stated that? The wife who bore Caligula's daughter, Melania Caesonia. Unlike his marriage to Melania Caesonia, Roman citizens were subject to his twisted whims. As per Suetonius, there were a number of instances where Caligula would showcase his brutality. Caligula had men of honorable backgrounds disfigured by making use of branding irons, condemning them to work in mines, or working on the roads. I guess all roads led to Rome. Also, Caligula had people offered as sacrifices to wild beasts or put them in cages to walk on all fours. Keep in mind, these punishments were not for treasonous or heinous crimes against mankind or the government. These were punishments for people criticizing Caligula's shows and entertainments. He was a petty motherfucker, wasn't he? He also targeted people in the lower enslaved classes. He was at a public banquet in Rome, and a slave was given to executioners for stealing a strip of silver on a couch. And Caligula so ordered that the slave's hands be chopped off and that he be hung from his neck to his breast. The slave was then paraded around town with a placard stating why he was receiving that punishment. Side note, I often think about times where I would consider time traveling, if it were available. This isn't one of those periods where I would willingly visit. His reign gives me significant pause. I also see him as a person who makes an unfunny joke, and if you don't laugh, you'll get tortured and executed. Remember when I mentioned he undid Tiberius's laws, taxes, and treason trials? Well, they're back. Apparently he created new taxes, even new ones that were never previously created. He created taxes on eatables sold in any part of Rome. Another tax was laid upon the Romans stating that the people who embraced prostitutes or sex workers were to be charged. And additionally, these taxes were not confirmed via decree by the Senate or the Assembly. It was just like someone who makes up the rules as they go. Not surprising at all. Speaking of superfluous projects, Caligula decided to threaten the Roman Assembly and Senate that he would create his favorite horse, Incitatus, as consul. We say that, it's more of like an off-color comment where he's saying that his horse could do a better job of governing Rome than the senators and the assembly. So, it never really happened, but the quote is taken monstrously out of context, so we just need to be aware of that. But, let's continue. Furthermore, he got a wild horse hair up his ass and wanted to build a bridge at the Bay of Baiae. He ordered that two ships be made into flotillas while the bridge was being constructed. This bridge was around 2 miles long and located near Naples. It is unknown as to why Caligula got this harebrained idea to build this bridge. A two-day ceremony was thrown due to Caligula's invasion of Britain. We'll get to that in a minute. During the ceremonies, Caligula praised Neptune, or Poseidon, and Invidia, goddess of envy. He celebrated those two gods after the bridge's completion. One speculation as to why Caligula raised and built the bridge, he wanted to rival the bridge that was created by Xerxes' pontoon bridge when he was in the Hellespont fighting against the ancient Greeks. Whatever floats your boat there, buddy. Moving on to Britain. In 40 AD, another absurd idea of trying to invade Britain from Gaul, modern-day France. According to History Extra, Caligula wanted to invade Britain to expand the Roman Empire. However, his armies were losing confidence in their emperor and were about to mutiny against him. So he then took it upon himself to declare a war against the sea god Neptune, Poseidon. Caligula then decided to stab the water with his sword, declaring victory over Neptune. He then ordered his soldiers to pick up and collect seashells. I was reading Reddit's Ask Historians subreddit. Commenters noted that he may have done that as a way to humiliate his soldiers for disobeying him. This tracks. The following year, 41 AD, was an important year. He died, and not naturally. So the story goes, Cassius Corio was a Roman soldier, military leader, and eventual leader of the Praetorian Guard, who fought along with Caligula's father, Germanicus. He was also known to be a brave and loyal soldier. According to Suetonius, Corio was noticing how unhinged and mentally unbalanced Caligula was becoming. Also, during his interactions with Caligula, Corio was mocked for the tone of his voice. Caligula was mocking him, saying that his voice was extremely effeminate. Also, per Suetonius, Corio was forced to kiss Caligula's ring in obscene fashions and use common phrases such as Venus. In this context, it would be used as a slang term for a eunuch. Apparently, Corio had had enough. Corio thought it best to think his process out, and that on January 41 AD, the Palatine Games were going to be held soon. On the 24th of January 41 AD, Corio took it upon himself to assassinate Caligula. He then had Melania Caesonia and their daughter Julia Drusilla executed as well. By this time, the Romans didn't miss him nor his twisted pleasures. It was at this point that the Roman Senate was hoping to reinstate the Roman Republic. This didn't happen because who had the real power? The military and the Praetorian Guard. His reign was followed by his uncle Claudius. I guess he's resting in pieces. Also, he hated the name Caligula. Seems fitting. So back to our definitions of mistresses or lover. In this case, he was not a mistress. He was a lover, mostly of other men's wives. It should also be noted that his behavior is also a reflection from Tiberius. Remember, he spent 6 years living with him on the island of Capri, witnessing many traumatic instances of young girls and boys having to play swimming games with Uncle or Grandpa Tiberius. Speaking of Tiberius, we need to do a brief talk about him in regards to his relationships. He was chock full of issues, and he was a lover no one wanted, except for his first wife. He was forcibly divorced due to Augustus's decree, making things so much worse for the Roman citizens. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I enjoyed digging around about the salacious stories. Okay. Maybe some are not as likable as others, about the two Roman emperors. I know this is a quick gloss over, but I thought I'd bring attention to the two men who were some of the worst Roman emperors. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe for more episodes covering history's most notorious lovers and mistresses. You can visit my website, sexscandalshenanigans.my.canva.site, or you can email directly at sexscandalshenaniganspod@gmail.com to make any recommendations or requests. Try not to get into any shenanigans yourself, or I just may end up telling your story. The show is written, recorded, and produced by me, Adrian. Thank you very much for joining me, and I hope to talk to you next time. Thank you. Bye. Caligula led a life of sex, scandals, and shenanigans, and his story fits nicely with this podcast. He discarded his lovers unless they died, like his sister Drusilla, per our friend Suetonius. I know we also tackled the issue of Tiberius.